And we're going to call this teaching, Faith Cannot Be Reasoned by Common Sense. Faith cannot be reasoned by common sense. This probably is why we have problems at times in believing, and we grapple with faith. We have problems with the promises of God's word because we still mix common sense with it. And this is why the word tells us that we must have our minds renewed by the Holy Spirit. In other words, reprogrammed. We've been programmed wrong. Our wiring isn't as it should be. And so our minds, through the new birth, now we put on the mind of Christ. In other words, we put on this word. We allow the word, the sword of the Spirit, in which to renew the mind. And like anything that has to be renewed and changed, there's always a battle, a resistance. But you see, the word of God is, as we're shown, is a two-edged sword. And there is a reason for that, because the word of God is to save us, to deliver us from the enemy, from ourselves. And so it is a battle, it is a fight. And so the word of God has to be that sword, because it's up against forces. Forces of unbelief, of doubt, confusion, wrong teaching, heresy, doctrines of demons. That is what God's word is up against. It is fighting against the spirit of this age, against the forces, powers, darknesses. It is fighting against the very devil himself, who twists the word of God. Because he knows that faith comes by hearing the word of God. This is how we believe. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, reading the word of God. That is how our minds is renewed, delivered, healed. And the enemy knows it. And he's going to still try and hold us with common sense. Now, common sense has its place in the world. The world would say that it lives by common sense. That is the fallen state of the world. That is not what God meant it to be. God didn't save us to have common sense. God didn't save us to know that our faith, our belief, our childlike faith was to be under attack. We had that relationship, that unbroken relationship, that didn't even know or understand the meaning of unbelief until Eve took of the forbidden fruit and gave it to Adam, and their eyes were opened. What a tragedy. But God, being as he is, always one step ahead, moved and provided and covered them. And now we have, because we live in a fallen world, we now have to have our minds renewed and changed by the word of God. And that is why we come regular, we come, we listen to the word, we come under the anointing that God renews our minds so that we realize we walk by faith. Faith that rises above common sense. And that is why so often our walk of faith doesn't make any sense. And that's what we battle with. Because God says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. They're way, way, way above anything that we can think of or even conceive. That is why the world lives in darkness, is blinded by the God of this world, the devil. And so we are being brought out from the world, its ways, its thinkings, and we are being renewed by the Spirit as he plants that seed, his word, into our hearts, the parable of the sower. But we have to be on our guard how we listen, how we hear. We see that clearly revealed to the seven churches in Asia Minor in Revelation. All the seven of them is a warning how you hear in order to overcome. So, with that brief introduction, let us turn to John 11, chapter 11 and verse 40. John 11, and well, we'll take it actually from verse 38, because you know this story very well. This is the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And here is a clear analogy. Faith cannot be reasoned by common sense. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to touch. It was the cave, and the stone lay against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time he's 3 days and he smells, for he has been dead for 4 days." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that you would believe you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was laying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." Wow. Listen, just a few words of prayer, confirming that his Father had heard him. In other words, he's one with his Father. He knows what his Father is about to do. There's no doubt, no questioning. He's simply confirming he's one. He hears what his Father says. "And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." So he's revealing he's one with his Father. They are not separated. He's heard what he said. It's to be a witness to them for a reason. And we'll look at this in a minute. "Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.'" I always loved that he used the word, his name, Lazarus. Come forth. Because if he didn't use the name Lazarus, all the dead before Christ would rise up from the graves. "And he who had died came, bound hand and foot, with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, 'Loose him and let him go.'" Death could not hold him. What was being revealed here? Faith. Common sense could not work this out. We've already heard common sense. Martha said to him, "He's been dead. He smells. 4 days. This is ridiculous. What are you doing? This doesn't make any sense. It's not common sense." Jesus doesn't take any notice of her because he's about to do something that common sense cannot do. And he raised him from the dead. You see, in our everyday walk, our circumstances or common sense completely contradicts your faith. You see, common sense isn't faith, and faith isn't common sense. And until we can learn this one, we will still have problems. We will still battle with our faith and our belief, because we're still applying it with the world, what I see, what I hear, what I feel, what I touch. And that's our problem. And that's our battle. And that's why at times you're down, you're questioning. My prayers didn't get answered, or I laid hands upon that person and they weren't raised up, healed. And we become depressed. And we listen to the devil's lies. See, it doesn't work. See, God isn't healing today. That was only for the times of the apostles in the book of Acts, because that's the usual one you hear today. No, no. What God is doing, he's renewing our mind, our thinking. We're putting on the mind of Christ, that mind there that spoke the word. And he was raised up from the dead, defying common sense. And the people were astounded, because they were seeing something miraculous that shouldn't happen in the natural. This is why I keep saying to us, our new birth, our belief in Christ is supernatural. You are not a natural person anymore, if that makes any sense. You are not of common sense. You are miraculous. You have something supernatural in your life, in your heart, in your spirit, that defies common sense, that exposes the powers of darkness and the very devil himself. This is why the faith message is always under attack, because it exposes the God of this world that blinds the eyes of most, and sadly those that call themselves Christians. And that's why we walk by faith and not by sight. What did Jesus say in John 8 verse 32? John 8 and verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In other words, unfettered. Free from common sense that hinders your faith in believing. This truth that comes from the word of God is miraculous. In nature, it is a miracle. And begin to believe that and expect that, brothers and sisters. For they that worship him in spirit and in truth. That is why. And that's why we can trust the Lord where our common sense cannot trust him. You try and trust God with common sense, you never will. And this is why people battle. This is why they do not understand. And it's no good arguing and bickering with them. They don't see. If your family, your loved ones, your child is arguing with you about your faith, don't argue with them. Just get in prayer and supplicate, Father, as you have opened my eyes to see, touch their lives, that their eyes will be open to see also, in Jesus' name. That is the most powerful prayer you can pray. Believe it, that God will, because God said he'll save our loved ones. It's in the word of God. Of course they're going to argue with you, because they're using logic, common sense, which you did. Can we step out in faith when common sense continues to shout out at us? No, we can't. And yet God says we can step out of that boat and walk on the water, as Peter did, defying common sense. But there was a test God was showing in that. As he began to walk on the water, he saw the water was boisterous. Common sense stepped in. And then his mind said, I shouldn't be doing this. There's something wrong about this. The water's too turbulent. And the next thing, he begins to sink. And Jesus said, why did you doubt? Because he took his eyes off the Lord for a second. You see, I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, because there are times I know when you feel, oh, if I've heard teaching about faith, if I've heard it once, I've got to have heard it at least 100 or 500 times, and yet I still doubt, yet I still battle, and so on. It's very simple. It's so simple that we miss it. Turn your eyes back to Jesus. Tell him you love him. Tell him your eyes are upon him. I walk with him. He is my vision 24/7. And then you begin to rise up and you begin to walk by faith. Because Jesus is your faith. And he resides and lives in you and I. We make it complicated. Why? Because we're bringing common sense into it. You see, many can say, I believe. But we can do all of that when we feel very spiritual, or when we're up on the mountaintop and we're having a blessed time with God and everything seems to be going my way. But it's when we come down into the valleys where our faith is tested and tried. And that's where you then have to stand upon God's word. And always God's word is revealed to you. This teaching today that we are listening to is the teaching that God is revealing to us, that we need to hear. And we're getting this blessing because our eyes are upon Jesus. We are obeying him. We're not resisting him. We're doing what he wants. And as I say, I know what he wants. I don't have to look for any proof text. He wants us together in fellowship before him. To receive this manna, it's more simple than we realize. We make it difficult and complicated because we allow common sense to get in. And when we put him first, the kingdom first, we're blessed. And he always addresses something that we have need of hearing, or we need to be refreshed or reminded about. But I know that something will always contradict it. What are those things that contradict it? Oh, I got up this morning and I don't feel very well. I sometimes get up in the morning and I don't feel too good. Now I have a choice presented before me. I'm going to let common sense do what it does when you don't feel very well, or I'm going to allow the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, to defy what I'm feeling. Or maybe we're believing for something. We've asked the Lord for a blessing. But sometimes those blessings don't come at the right time. It's always God's perfect timing, but it's not with us. And so we let common sense prevail. For example, I'm believing for finances to pay this bill that needs to be paid in the next 2 days. Else I'm going to get a letter, a warning. And guess what? It doesn't come in the next 2 days. It comes a week later. But God was still faithful. It was still his perfect timing, but it didn't fit in with your situation. And so you allow common sense to get in. Well, look, see, it hasn't come. 2 days now. Here we are. We've got problems. Common sense, logic taking over. Only to find that God is faithful. The money has come. It just didn't come at the time you wanted. See, God is sovereign where faith is concerned. He'll do it. He'll provide. He'll be faithful. But it's always in his timing and the way he does it. Or maybe common sense is saying, oh, I need more faith. I'm obviously just don't have enough faith for this. And somehow I've got to get more faith. No, that's just common sense talking. You have the faith today to believe. Because even your faith is a gift, Ephesians tells us. It's what we are doing with that gift in which to believe. It's the same with the strength that you need today. The strength is there in him. The strength is found in the fruit of the Spirit. I can get through this day because it lies in him, not me or common sense. He has provided each day for us to overcome, to walk this day by faith. That's why we're called overcomers, first fruits. Don't try and work it out how he does it. He will do it. He will be faithful. Many, many times I've laid my head down on the pillow and I've said, Father, you have been faithful to me this day. I don't know how I got through this day, but I did. Because my faith in you worked it, not common sense. Or sometimes the situation is too far gone. How often have we said that, whether it's in sickness or whether it's in the financial area or looking at a person's life or even your rebellious son or whatever it would be, you think it's too far gone. Hopeless. The case is hopeless. What's that? Common sense. And probably common sense is right. That's why they want to bring in euthanasia. That's why they want to end terminally ill by offering them a way out of escape. Yes, they're terminally ill. Yes, they're dying. And common sense says, well, let them end their life now. There's just one problem. It's an abomination before God. God is the giver of life. God gives and God takes. It's in his divine sovereignty. And this is nothing more than rebellion. But they will use common sense with it, you see. But we don't walk common sense in that sense. Now, of course, there is common sense. I would say to you, if you can smell burning in the house or you're suddenly seeing flames in another room, my suggestion is you walk, get out of the house quickly. Now, of course, that is common sense. It's common sense to eat regular, to sleep, to have proper sleep. These are the laws of life that God has set. But if God says to you, well, I want you to go on a fast for two weeks, well, then God will lead and guide on that, because common sense says you need to eat food in which to keep your strength. So we have to learn the laws of faith. We have to understand the Holy Spirit's leading. Because somebody has stepped out in faith in that area, that's God working with them. It doesn't mean to say you copy them and do exactly the same. And I've seen that happen. It's happened in our church. And they fall flat on their face because it wasn't faith working. They were copying somebody else. And that simply proves their eyes were not upon the Lord and Him leading and guiding them, you see. This is where we have to apply wisdom and knowledge, which only the Holy Spirit can teach us and give. You know, He'll show us how to walk by faith. This is why I love when I read in the Bible all the saints who acted by faith. I mean, I go back, I know I use this often with Abraham. Abraham has need of a son, an heir. God's going to make a covenant, a promise with him, that from his seed, he will raise a people who will walk by faith, redeemed, not by works, but by faith. He's going to make that covenant with him. And here he is, he's got his son, Isaac. And God says, now go to a place that I will show you and offer him up to me as an offering. That doesn't make any sense. That is not common sense. But he doesn't question. He goes and he leaves his servant and they move to a place that God shows them, and there he prepares the altar and he's ready with the knife to slay him. And the angel puts the hand out and stops him and says, you are willing to offer up your son. You haven't questioned. You know I am faithful. He believed that even if he did slay him, God would raise him up, because he had understood that God is about resurrection, about new life. He was learning that our God is a miraculous working God that defies common sense, defies death. He is resurrection. And because he did that, he was willing to do that, God looked at that and said, if flesh and blood is willing to offer his son, I will offer my son, my lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. And God provided an offering, and there was a ram caught in the thicket. And there Abraham offered him the ram up instead. God always provides where there is faith. Don't ask me how he does it. He does it. It's supernatural. It's miraculous. We are always bombarded every day, particularly now, with the cost of living going through the roof. And we're told in the Bible that this will happen in the last days, where people will not be able to afford to buy. We think the prices are high now. They haven't stopped. They will continue to, because the markets are manipulated. They're controlled. It's the powers of darkness at work. But guess what? God says, I'll use this and I will show that I have a people, a remnant, who will be preserved and kept, who will still be clothed, who will still be fed, and who will still be looked after physically. Wholeness in mind, body, and spirit. That is what the word of God is. Now, logic says you can't do that. I'm not earning enough money to buy food or to pay the bills. That's what your mind, your logic is saying. But you don't walk like that. And that is, you're not to confess that. He has said, if we seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, then all these things will be added unto you. Don't take thought. Don't be anxious. Anxiety is part of common sense. And he means what he said. And that's why we are seeing these things happening now in the world. For the very purpose that we can rise above them. That is why we're spiritually building our ark. The same as Noah built the ark to save himself and his family, that rose above the earth, that destroyed the earth. We too are building our spiritual ark. I've always said that this assembly is like our spiritual ark. As judgment is coming on the earth, which it is, we are rising above it. We are not part of it. Although we're in the world, we are not of the world. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. What does it say in Philippians 4:19? Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All your needs. There's always something that arises that contradicts our faith. And that's why it has to be tested, because the trial will tell where your faith really is. And faith will always kill those doubts. It will kill what you are seeing in the natural. Faith has its own vision. It sees Jesus in that situation. It is seeing his word, his promises. You need your vision changed. You're allowing too much of common sense to dominate and control. What does the Lord say in Matthew 11? And verse 6, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me. So in other words, the blind man, the lame man walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Everything going against common sense. That doesn't happen. But it does with God. And that's why our faith is on the Lord alone, because we are partakers of him. And we see this in Hebrews 3 verse 14. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 14. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. As it says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. And those who perished in the wilderness. That's why when we hear the word of God, we mustn't harden our hearts. Because our faith, the word, is to help us to walk and face each day by faith. And that's why when you believe on him, everything else that challenges your faith will simply strengthen your faith. Is your faith being challenged? Are you standing on the word? Are you believing? Of course you are. I know most of you are. And you have got things that are challenging your faith. But little do you realize those obstacles, those symptoms that are challenging your faith are making your faith stronger. If you are looking to the Lord. And the ultimate testing of our faith is that we will never forsake him, that I will remain faithful and endure to the end. That's the ultimate of our faith. What does it say in Hebrews 13? Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? There you are. That's our confession. Verse 6. Boldly say it, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? He can't. And that's why faith teaches us and makes us into something. And what does it make us into? Sons and daughters of God. Firmly ground. Feet firmly upon the rock of Jesus Christ. Our faith has got to rise above our common sense. Because common sense defy Jesus' resurrection. Common sense says nobody rises from the dead. Once dead, you're dead. Not with God. Not at all. Faith rises above it. And that is why you've got to be found in Christ. A new creation. Resurrection working in your life. Rising above doubt and unbelief. Faith cannot be reasoned by common sense, so don't even try and do it. It will never make any sense. But when you have your eyes looking to the Lord and him alone, then you will not sink in the water like Peter began to do. And you see, even though Peter, he sank, the Lord didn't leave him. He stretched out his hand and he brought him to himself. There's the love and grace and mercy of God, which reminds me, he that hath begun a work in you will complete and finish it. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word. Lord, may we not only be hearers but doers of this. Whatever it takes, whatever hindrances still hinder our faith, in your mercy, remove it. That we walk with that simple childlike faith, simply trusting, standing upon your word, your promises, with that bold confession. O Lord Jesus, have mercy upon us, Father. You are so long-suffering, patient, gentle, kind, everything other than we are at times. You never give up on us, Lord. But Father, I pray that this word will glorify your name as we yield to it. We don't fight against it, question it. Just allow your spirit to work in and through us. Because, Father, we are not of death. We are of resurrection. We have risen with you. We have defied common sense. And so I pray you'll bless, preserve and keep each one of us till we assemble again. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.